In Psalm 103, it's not in your notes, but Psalm 103, the back page of your notes is completely blank unless you've already begun to fill it up. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. The Spirit of God shared this with the psalmist to share with us this morning as we begin. He said, as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. You know, it's interesting to see how a parent views their newborn baby. It doesn't matter what the baby looks like. I mean, that little tyke can still have a cone head from having been in the birth canal a little too long. They can have that smashed nose from being intimately involved with their mama's tummy before the birth. You know, if they cry or make a mess, the baby is still the apple of their parents' eyes. And I can say that's true of not only parents, but grandparents as well. They see the child as the most perfect, beautiful, handsome creation that was ever born. They are proud as they could be and excited about this kid that has come into their lives. Parents see their own children differently, however, than other people see them. As you see them as perfect little kids, and our Sunday school teachers tell me they're not so perfect. They are little sinners, and they prove that by the way that they are. And as believers in Jesus, it's the same way with our Heavenly Father. He sees us in Christ as perfect, not because we are, but because His Son is, and that has been given to us in our having received His Son as our Lord and our Savior. He knows us intimately, but nonetheless, He is proud of you. He is proud of the things that you do for Him and in His name, the name of His Son. He is a parent like you that has joy in his heart when he thinks about the things not only that you have done, but because of being that all-knowing Heavenly Father, he knows the things that you're going to do for him, to pleasure him. He's proud of you. Sure, you make mistakes, and oftentimes the word mistakes in the Christian community is used sort of to water down the term sin. That's not my intent. Sometimes we just make mistakes. And then there are other times when we sin overtly or covertly. But nonetheless, He still loves us. His Holy Spirit will bring conviction into our lives. He will speak to us individually about areas of failure. But nonetheless, He doesn't stop loving us. When we sin, He will pick us up and dust us off, and the Holy Spirit will help us to know the direction that He would prefer that we go in. Our Heavenly Father sees you as overcomers because of your faith. He sees you as being victorious because He is your victor and you have embraced Him. And He is the one that has had victory over sin and death. And you are in Him, and He is in God. In His eyes, you are pure and holy. That is not necessarily the way we live our lives. It is what we are called to. But nonetheless, positionally, because of who we are in Christ, he sees us as pure and holy. He sees us as his prized possessions. He knows you to be his priest, and part of a royal priesthood at that. And likewise, he has placed you in a holy nation. You're part of his family. And he loves you, as I said earlier, very, very much. So today, as we return to our present series, today as the Holy Spirit will speak to any and all of us who have opened, if I can use the term, spiritual ears, that we would hear what he has to say to us individually, to say to us as a husband and a wife, as a single person. If we'll open our ears to hear and trust in his love for us and trust in the goodness that we know that he has already manifested and blessed us with, and trust that we can find safety and that he knows. He knows that we're imperfect. He knows that we are yet in our flesh. He knows that we still sin. He knows those of us that have become bigots. He knows our prejudices. He knows any corruption that we have been a part of in our lives thus far, within the companies we work for, the corporations we're a part of, as we were students in university. So we return to, what is GHCC to be like in a world? A world of racism and corruption. Corruption from the highest levels of the land that you and I have come to know and love as the United States. So the question we've asked about is, what is racial prejudice? And we've all agreed that there in the middle of page one, we want to listen, we want to understand, we want to practically live out what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us in the inerrant, infallible, authoritative Word of God. We have agreed together there that we are going to let the Holy Spirit speak to us. We're going to let him change us in whatever ways he needs to change us so that we conform to the image of the one that he was left here to continue to convict of sin, to the one who left him here so that we wouldn't feel as orphans, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We are to let him renew our thoughts and our attitudes. And we have, in spirit, agreed to that together as we go forward. We are not so much interested in what Ron has to say on the subject, but what Jesus Christ has said about this subject. And as his followers, as disciples, mentors of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to continue to pursue that upward call of God in Christ Jesus to become more and more like him. We are to, as the John the Baptist said, there needs to be less of him and there needs to be more of Christ. And likewise for you and for me, we need to see ourselves diminishing and more of Christ increasing in our lives so as to continue to be what we want to be. Followers of the Lord Jesus. We agreed with Solomon in Proverbs chapter 4, as you see there in your notes, we're going to listen attentively to the Spirit of God. We're going to listen to his word, and then we're going to embrace it. We're going to hold it. We're not going to lose it like so many messages. We listen for 30 minutes, and then we walk out, we forget it. We don't practically put it to work in our lives. But this must come to fruition in your life and mine. If our culture is to change, it is only going to change through you and me. As we cease looking like our culture and being more like Christ. Our culture is what it is today because the church has failed. And you and I know it's not an institution, it's an individual. An individual has come to know Christ personally as his king or her king and savior. So the question that I asked you in your notes was, who are you listening to and what are you reading? I've asked you to turn off the boob tube. I've asked you to stop reading romance novels. I've asked you to turn to reading the greatest book that has ever been written, and that is the Word of God, and not to approach it as a novel. You can read to the end and see what goes on. You would have missed all kinds of things in between, but you can pick up and read anywhere in His Word, and you can be blessed and challenged and encouraged and found to be wanting. I mean, it's a marvelous document that the Holy Spirit has saved for us to be able to read anytime that we'd like. But not to look at it as a simple book. It is the breath of God. It is His breathing out His message to you and to me as an individual. He wants to speak into your heart. He wants to speak into your life, the words that are His. He wants us to respond to Him. He's so good. And yet we allow ourselves to be distracted. And I'd like to know which of you were watching the UCLA game and SC game yesterday, because it's your fault if you weren't in the Word that they lost. If you could spend 3.5 hours watching them lose, why can't you read 3.5 hours and watch him win? 3.5 hours? Really? Yes. Really. We looked at 1 Kings 19, verses 11 and 12 last week, and I just want to remind us all, I don't want us to be focusing on the winds of life, these huge storms that are coming our way, and earthquakes that rattle us to our bones, these events in our lives that are all there to draw us away from our focus on walking with Jesus. The fires that are spoken of here, we all have been burned. We're all burning, some of us, even at this very moment. We are hurting. We are hurting deeply, many of us. But our Lord says, don't let those things draw you away. Don't focus on those things. He told us here the sound of the low whisper, that small voice He wants us to listen to. And that can only happen as we turn away from these other things that we allow to be the noise in our lives. Some of us are hurting so badly, but the last place we go is to our Lord and spend time with Him and in His Word and in the prayers and prayers and more prayers and meditating on something that He says here. I mean, such as, you know, the sound of the low whisper, the sit down with the Lord in a quiet place. Lord, that low whisper, I want to hear that. I want to turn to you. I want to hear this. My life is just really upsetting right now. I need to hear from you. But you've got to stop. You've got to stop what you're doing. You've got to stop focusing on those other things. You've got to be with Him. So we began looking at Proverbs 18:21, and it reads, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, those who love to talk. And in our day and age, I take the principle from here. Those of you that love the blog, those of you that love this Facebook stuff, all that social media, you want to be careful, because he says here, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it, the tongue, the speaking, the writing, if you will eat its fruit. And Solomon is trying to help us to see here that there are going to be consequences for what we say. There are going to be consequences for what we write. Now, they may be great consequences. And at the same time, they may not be great consequences. They may be hurtful, harsh consequences. As you look at the fact, here's your fill-in, a formidable power dwells in each of us. That's our tongue. God created us with tongues. You know, he didn't create us with two big ears and one big mouth, the church. He created us with tongues, but there's a formidable power that dwells in each of us. And this power has changed the course of nations. I don't know about you, but as a kid, I remember seeing films from the 1930s as we studied history in school. I think they still do that today. And I'm sure it's not all redacted just yet. But we saw these films of Adolf Hitler. Now, I didn't understand a word of Deutsch, but nonetheless, he is up there and he is expressive and he is charismatic and he is just shouting out whatever he was shouting to the German people. And I'm talking about tens of thousands of people gathered to hear Der Führer. And they are all moved by the tongue. They were moved to kill millions upon millions upon millions of people. Hitler was corrupt and so was his government. And he was a racist. And look what he turned the German people into, with the tongue. With the tongue, it is a formidable power, and it dwells in each of us. It's capable of dividing nations. We see what's going on today in the news media. The tongue of the commentator, the one who's writing the newspapers today. Those who are speaking on radio, they are dividing this country because there is one philosophy over here and another philosophy over here. And Christianity is kind of, how can it be in both of those? It can't. Jesus' philosophy, Jesus' words are separate from both of them. But the church is listening to this commentator and that commentator, CNBC and Fox News, and they're not listening to what Jesus had to say. They're all upset because they're right-wingers and don't like what the left is saying, and they're left-wingers and they don't like what the right is having to say. Why don't we listen and do what Jesus has to say and give up on left and right? Capable of dividing nations and starting and ending wars of various kinds and bringing about, and here's your fill-in, racial and political division. The tongue. The tongue is kind of like, can you show that picture that I put up that we dubbed it the old man? Hello? Oh. I don't know if you recognize this old man, but that happens to be Alfred Nobel. Now you might be thinking, oh, he's the one that bequeathed this huge sum of money for the Nobel Prizes. You know, some of those are Nobel Peace Prize and so forth. He was a chemist and an engineer, and he's the one that created what you and I have come to know as dynamite. And that's how he made his fortune. He's a Swedish chemist. But he created dynamite for the building of roads. He created dynamite for blowing away parts of mountains so you could lay railroad tracks. He didn't create dynamite for what man saw the potential of using in war and killing people. You see, our tongue is like that. Our tongue can bring blessing or it can bring curse. This formidable power, it's made men rich and it's made women famous. The tongue, if you look at your notes, has the means to commend or to corrupt, to bless or to blame. It is awful what it can do when being used in the flesh. It is even more amazing what it can do when operating in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to show us the hurt that we can cause with our tongue, and he will reveal to us the great things that can be done because of our tongue. Tommy, where am I with time with regard to communion? Oh. We will pick up with Ephesians 4, verses 31 through 32 next time. So the tongue. How's your tongue doing? Mine's dry. Yours is moist. That's because you haven't been waxing less than eloquent for the last 30 minutes. How's your tongue, family? Are people going to come to you and say, wow, so-and-so just blesses my heart. So encouraging. Saw me to be discouraged and they came and they encouraged me. They extended their hand. They lifted me up. Or will one be remembered as I was already down and that person just shoved me right under the bus. I'd like you, as a homework assignment, pray about your tongue. Try to get somewhere quiet. Listen for that wee small voice. And ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate to your own heart, to your mind. Are you someone who's an encourager or a discourager? Are you someone who's a helper? Or are you someone who is hurtful? Are you someone who is commending other people? Or are you adding to corruption in their hearts, their minds? I like to look at GHCCers as those who are commenders, the helpers. But you and I both know that none of us are perfect. And we are capable of both of these things being used for good and not so good. Let's have the Lord pat us on the back and make us feel good about what he has accomplished in our lives. And let's have the Lord tell us areas that he's saying, look, you and me together, we can fix this area that's weak in your life right now. Get it? Good. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your visitation with us in the Word of God. Thank you that the Word of God is not open to multiple interpretations. Thank you that you've made it really easy to understand for the most part. Father, we acknowledge to you that we are sinners. However, most in this room, I think, have been saved by your grace and through faith in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is our prayer that we will turn from self and turn more to your Son, that we will turn from the distractions of the world and turn to your Son, that we would spend more time with you than we do doing these other things that are mere distractions from spending time with you. Reveal to us the areas that you're happy about. Reveal to us the areas that even though we're doing well, we could do better. But help us to see in this whole area of racism and corruption, if we are free from any of that, and if not, to be open to the teaching that is yet to come from your wonderful word, that we would not be an embarrassment to you, that we would stand up and people would say, that guy, that gal is a tremendous person, and I don't know why. Oh, they have come under the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit because they've given their lives to Jesus Christ. So help us in this, my Lord, for I ask it through the name of your Son, who we came this morning to worship, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christos, Jesus the Christ. Amen.